great text about talking about this message theme, which is what the Lord is doing and what He is going to do. Because that's very much in our present. And this prophecy of Isaiah is just powerful. It's just powerful. It talks about the new heavens and the new earth. And in that text, we're obviously dealing with this fact that we go from the old year to the new year. And we are encouraged and reminded that as we do so, we are trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. And we are encouraged and reminded that this has to be the theme. God has brought us through one year, and He's bringing us into a new year, and let's walk into that new year with Him. Our new year thinking and point of view is not simply wishful thinking. As Christians, we have something deeper than this. This is not bad. These are good New Year's resolutions. You know, lose weight, help others in their dreams, fall in love, spend more time with family, quit smoking, learn something exciting, stay fit and healthy, enjoy life to the fullest, spend less, save more, and get organized. We can all learn from that. But for us, we are a people who love God. And we need to take stock of our lives. We want to do this. In fact, this is part of Christian discipleship. As Christian discipleship goes along, we take stock of my life right now and we say, Lord, here it is. You know, I want to present it to you in the fullest measure. But also, we want to kindle our vision. We want to see things through God's eyes every chance we get. You know, it's a great picture of a cat seeing himself as a lion. Beautiful. You know, God gives us possibilities. He gives us opportunity to see things through His eyes. We want to kindle our vision and really take stock, take inventory, as they say, or whatever, but always with a view to where God is going to lead us. Because He's going to give us vision for the future. He's going to kindle vision in us, and we are a people who want that to be developed and built because we are a people who love God. And we love God in the present, yes, very much. We want to praise Him. We want Him to be our leader, our guide, as we've been singing. You know, we've been singing about our God, our help in ages past, and our hope for years to come. We've been singing about the great Jehovah who can guide us, lead us, show us the way. But He is a God who's going to not only help us love Him now, but also give us promises of a wonderful future. God holds the future in His hands. We are reminded of that. That's especially what we're doing this morning. In living that out, may we all be inspired to overcome the old ways of sin, to break free of them, to break free of the things that hold us back, and to put away sin, to put away its enticing, seducing, guiling ways of sin. You know, this is the whole idea of the apple and the snake, is that it suddenly looked for food, and desirous for gaining that knowledge that the serpent was promising. Knowledge which God couldn't give you. But, you know, we need to overcome those things. We need to break free of them. And turn away from the old ways and go into and strengthen the new ways of God's kingdom. That is our hope as we move into the new year. Let us pray a moment. Dear God, this scripture, we ask for You to be our leader and our guide. Thank You that You promise the transformation of this world from out of its brokenness and sin, from out of all of its regrets, from a possibility of having natural disasters shake up our lives and remind us of how fragile our life is. The possibility of accidents, Lord, which can be terrifying. The possibility, Lord, of hopes being dashed, of dreams being denied, of walls being built, of wars being started. Lord, we need to have You continually kindle in us a vision for what You're doing, for how You're bringing us through to a better place. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. in whom we seek to be led and guided, and whom is found on every page of the Scripture, including this one, this passage we're about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Isaiah 65 says there, "See, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord." It's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to Him. There is a dream we have about our lives, dreaming about futures where there will be a big change in a good direction. There are major life changes that bring this about, and it could be as simple as going off or having some kind of new beginning occur. And it can be as simple as going off to a new school. This little child entering into a new place can be very exciting. It could be leaving home for the first time and getting your own place. It could be landing your first job or a new job. It could be deciding to get married. We have a couple right here. We know about it. We know about it. And going to a new exotic location, totally new to you. But all of it's about dreaming about having your life change in a sudden, fast way that brings you blessing. A turning point that brings you direction. God uses you where you are, but God is always going to bring blessings into our lives. That is our hope. That is our confidence. We have this dream. We have this dream, and it could be about changing the circumstances of our own lives. It may be about believing that the situation for the entire world will change. A dream that God will return, that Jesus Christ will come back, that the history of the world will finally reach its resolution, and we will not have any more griefs to bear. Because we have this dream in the context of a world broken, we often are finding ourselves wondering if there's hope for it. We carry that hope in our faith because we trust in God. We trust in God to do greater things. But we oftentimes are staring down an abyss. There's an abyss of disaster. So many times it's very bitter and it's real about our world. In 2023, we could be remembering that there's a grinding war in the Ukraine caused by Russia. It's raining missiles down upon their cities to break their infrastructure and make them suffer. Could be the tragically destructive war in Gaza caused by the outrageous and terribly violent Hamas attack on October 7th. It could be the disastrous earthquake in Turkey back in February. I don't know if the battery. I don't know if you recall, but 55,000 people died in this earthquake in Turkey in 2023. It was a tremendous loss of life. It was very devastating. So we stare into this abyss and we realize there is so much more we could remember. I printed out the top 10 worst disasters of 2023, and they're significant. We do not think our own situation is perfect. We know for ourselves that we would hope for it to be better. We sometimes are like Snoopy here, talking about we all have our hang-ups. We all wish for a better condition in changing things in our own lives, maybe, that seem kind of stubborn. And we would like to see improvement. We are subject to ill health, like Kim talking about his eye. Deteriorating conditions as we age, we talk about it. And, in Siniana, the deputy mayor died at the age of 49 from diabetes. So our lives are fragile. And we know our own brokenness, as Snoopy's saying. We have our hang-ups. We keep making the same mistakes. And none of us are perfect. But we still have a dream. We still hope for God's kingdom to come. We pray that prayer. We pray it for the sake of ourselves. We pray for the sake of our world. Your kingdom come, O Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are truly waiting for Isaiah 65, verse 17 to come true. For behold, I create the new heavens and the new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. Isaiah 65, verse 17. We received a foretaste of it when Jesus walked the earth. He did miracles like turning the water into wine or feeding the 5,000 with two fishes and some loaves. We know of the hope we have, the promise, the true dream of the transformative nature of life in the church. Reminded to us, see now, here we go. That's a picture of St. Augustine. Augustine lived a very worldly and sinful life. He knew the brokenness of life, and he was kind of world-weary when he became a Christian, and he found the Lord. And the church became his home, became one of the greatest theologians of our church history, Augustine. But he knew the ways of the world and the ways of sin. And he was transformed by finding Christ and becoming, seeking to be like him in his life. And we have this dream about the power of God working in the world through the power of Scripture, which has the ability to transform lives. We're here, testified to, standing in front of a gathering of high and mighty churchmen and the Holy Roman Emperor. And they're saying to him, recant what you've written about the Scriptures. Just believe what we tell you. And he said, no, I have to believe what God tells me. And he said, the power of Scripture needs to be released into people's lives. So that having a printed copy of the Bible there that you can take home, we can study Bibles, you know, all the kinds of Bibles we have, is a gift that Martin Luther helped to bring about. And that is part of the dream. That the Bible can be, as the Gideons know, they can put it into prisons and they can put it into hospitals. They can put it into hotel rooms, and people can take a scripture, open it up, and start reading that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And they can begin to learn about the glory that is found in Jesus Christ. We do see this dream coming true as God is working His purposes out as year succeeds to year. And is it not simply wonderful that the story of which we are part of because of our faith ends in God's time and in God's way? I keep trying to move this. The word of the Lord endures forever. His word is assured. So we are believing and trusting that the story we're part of will end in God's time and in God's way. And we can trust Him for that. No matter what the circumstances, no matter if we have to live through Typhoon Maywar, and come out the other side. God is going and promising that he's going to put all the bad times and evil things behind. Our taking stock of the previous year and all history that you have experienced that has gone on in the world. We think about it. We consider all of the things that are we wish for to be better, that we want to have changed. Yet we are trusting God to be able to move beyond these brokenness because of our faith. We can overcome evil with good. We can truly believe in a better future. And no better example of it exists than Tokyo, where I was just traveling. This city was devastatingly bombed like this in 1945, or 44, I should say. It was bombed to smithereens. And yet, it's been completely rebuilt and restored. I walked its streets, and I expected Tokyo to be a kind of a hard place to relate to find my way there, to feel at home there, but it's not true. I felt totally at home, and all that World War II grief has been put far behind. It's an amazingly illuminated city with awesome sights and sounds and beautiful gardens and places to find peace. And yet there are places that are just filled with people and life. I imagine seeing an older person remembering something of the devastation of the war. 2025 is the 80th anniversary of, you know, that kind of experience. It's not even, you know, what I showed you was not even Hiroshima or Nagasaki. But all of that is way in the past. There's been a healing and a renewing. And it's a living metaphor for what God is going to do, the new heavens and the new earth. And then there's a tremendous friendship between the U.S. and Japan, which is just symbolic of it all, that we can be fast friends, even though we had to be fierce enemies at one time. Now, in verses 18 and 19, we read that God is going to create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people, and the sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Is it literal Jerusalem or symbolic? And I think it's symbolic. It's indicative of heaven, where there will be fantastic fulfillment. The sound of weeping and crying are gone, just like you see in Revelation 21, when God comes down to wipe away every tear from our eye. It's going to heal us. God will wipe away our tears. Revelation 21. God does not deny our tears. We know that we have reasons to weep. He wants to see our tears when we're weeping for the brokenness and sinfulness of our world, which has such needs. But God wants to engage with our tears. He wants to know the story of why they're there, but he's promising that he will heal them. God is close to the brokenhearted. He will save those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 34:18. In Isaiah, the Lord touches on removing the deepest tragedies of our lives. He is going to really fulfill this scripture, but he does not deny the deepest tragedies of our lives. Before I enter into those, I want to read this a moment, this text. It's very important. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Come bow before him now with reverence and fear. In him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. And that's transformative for us, this idea, as we go and enter into and bring hope and bring peace and bring comfort and bring God's love to a world that needs it. God is not afraid to touch on the idea of the loss of an infant early in their lives. He is promising that he's going to eliminate all violence and he's going to eliminate all trouble from the world. But there are griefs to bear. And this makes us reminds us of it. I saw it in some of the temples to go to in Japan. They had many different little heads representing lost children. And he says, when you're losing an infant early, I will always cherish the memory of your smell, the way you felt, the way you looked. You know, a memory. He knows the grief and the pain and the tears that this causes. Or an old man cut off before his time. Death leaves a heartache. No one can heal. Love leaves a memory. No one can steal. Rest in peace to all who were taken from us too soon. And of course, the prime example is this Korean gentleman who was shot dead on Gun Beach Road. Newly retired, sent by his children to Guam for a retirement, and has to go home in a body bag. It's senseless sin, which God is promising will be gone forever. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait. We look at our world, and we have to believe in the impossible. And what I was showing you there is a picture of a bunch of boats landing a fighting force strong enough to overcome the SS Panzer divisions in 1944 France, bringing a peace in Europe that's lasted to this very day. Incredible. They should never have succeeded. They could easily have been wiped out. But they believed in the impossible. So we have faith and trust that God will create that new heavens and the new earth, even in spite of our not believing it. And a little over a month later, the Marines were landing here, Guam, and the Army, overcoming fierce Japanese firepower and extensive defensive positions with a determined enemy who would not stop for anything on Guam, granting it a peace that lasts to this day. One day, we shall be in the Lord's presence, and we will find the fullness of joy. And the Lord will be responsive to our needs immediately, and we will be not wanting for anything anymore. We will be in the Lord's presence fully, and we will find fullness of joy. We really find it. We are transported. We are translated by our own worship and our own singing beyond our own life here in the world, you know, into the Lord. He touches our souls. He touches our hearts, reminding us that He is present, and He's giving us comfort even now. You know, the wolf in the western United States was hunted to extinction because it was ferocious and it took life all the time. A wild animal can be found killing people and farm animals continually from ancient times right to the present. A snake bite can kill you almost instantly. And you do not want to meet a wild, angry bear in the forest. Imagine a world where that cannot happen anymore. We do not need to fear the wolf. The child will lead them. He can put his hand into the viper's nest, no worries. And wild animals are sleeping, or they're restful, or they're calm. And there is a place where all of this will be fulfilled. And the Lord is leading us there. And He is our God who asks us to trust Him for this great promise which He gives. I will create a new heavens and a new earth. And in that place, a new place, you'll neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain. May we get there soon. May the Lord bring us quickly. But until that time, may we go in the strength of the Lord, trusting Him with all of our hearts. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You
so much for giving us promises that are powerful and true. Thank you that we can walk in a place that we'd only dream about, such as the rebuilt city of Tokyo, such as a Europe set at peace, having endured two world wars in the previous century. But Lord, we know there are many places where we would long for the peace to return or peace to be kept. We pray for the day when violence and trouble will be no more. We pray for a place in which there will be no grieving widows. There will be no fear of having enough locks and guard dogs around your house to prevent people from causing crime. Lord, we do pray that you may help us in Guam to build a better world, to believe in a new day in which there can be a greater degree of love and joy and rejoicing. We do want to really believe that Christmas hymn, Joy to the World, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. That as far as the curse is found, it will be broken. And there will come days of blessing and renewal. We thank you for the transformative power of the church, which we are reminded of in the life of Augustine and many other Christian brothers and sisters throughout time. And we are thankful, Lord, for the power of the Word of God, which gives us a promise that goes far beyond our circumstances. We trust you in them, Lord, with all of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.